So how was everyone's vacation?
Not near. What vacation?
Listen,
it was not a vacation. Can be a damn week. Long enough, I think, for me. It was not nearly long enough.
Me neither. I mean, I worked here till Wednesday, so I only had Thursday, Friday, Saturday off before I had to come back to work Sunday.
So it didn't really feel like much of.
It felt like a normal weekend for me.
Yeah.
That's just sad. See, the thing is I could have come here and worked during the break, but I also told myself I needed a break from this building, from this life, from James. I mean, it's, you know, I see you every Monday as it is. And then on weekends.
You see me damn near every day.
I do see you.
I was going to say, probably every day.
I'm like,
hey, Matt.
James has become someone I see on a regular basis.
Yes. It won't be a normal day without seeing James.
No, it won't be a normal day without seeing Matt.
Okay. Hey, for tip for deck, scammer.
I'm so sick of that phrase. Please, God, stop saying
I promise
it.
You, like, that sound must just...
There is no TikTok.
I promise you it is, because it just disappeared, because, like, I saved it to my favorite sounds, not there anymore. And, like, a lot of the videos say, like, not available anymore, so maybe it was a copyright issue where it disappeared.
I think that's a lot of bullshit.
No, because it was, like, April tipper deck scabber. Rapper dick scabber.
What does that even mean?
It's like when you're confused. It doesn't mean anything, but it's like, it's meant that way. It's like when, like, you're confused on exam and, like, it's like someone talking to you.
You know what? When we become more established on social media, I'm going to dig this out of its grave and I'm going to put a Twitter poll up and we're going to find some people that...
We'll find it. It's just going to take some extensive research.
See, you also said you were going to find it today. I asked you how many times.
I'm trying to YouTube it,
missing.
Google it.
How does it just go missing?
Because sometimes it's a copyright issue and you have to take them down.
It's not even real English. How would you even spell
it? They probably got it from The Sims.
I was gonna say, you should Google it and then...
I tried spelling a particular cavern, but they're,
you know,
like, no results.
Just pull up the mic on your phone and hit the record button and just auto it into your search engine.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
They're gonna be like, apricot scavenger.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Yeah, I'm like...
Your story's gonna look to you like, what the hell?
But listen, other than that, I mean, I am on my way to being TikTok famous. I got addicted over break. I have 7 videos right now, and for like the month of December, I'm like, what if I do a TikTok a day? So all of our listeners should follow me on TikTok at Jambeev. JAMBEVE.
This is not your personal platform to plug for your TikTok.
Yes, it is.
A dipper deck scamper. No, it's not.
I just downloaded TikTok, so we'll see how addicted I get.
Don't get into the trend.
I downloaded it
as like a joke, and like, and I was like, ooh, I like this. And I started making videos.
I'm so depressed. No.
She said no. You just have to follow
you
suit.
You all
and get
just
addicted.
Must not have loved Vine the way I did to feel the pain
I
of it being
really
brutally
into Vine
murdered.
When it was out, though, so that's why.
I was into Vine when it was out.
I know you were.
I was very much
when
into
we took that Vine Kahoot over the summer, you were all over that.
Thank you, Twitter.
I was
for
like,
murdering my
don't you disrespect
true
Twitter
love.
Like that. That's
yeah,
my number one social
Twitter.
Media.
I don't have Twitter either.
I had one that I deleted and I got it again, so I'm back in action.
Oh my gosh.
I do that,
don't
yeah.
we have a Twitter? Didn't
also
you make
follow
us a Twitter?
Me on Twitter at Jambeev.
Didn't you make us a Twitter?
Oh yeah, also follow our podcast at It's Hard Podcast.
We should live tweet during the show.
We should. That's why I got it, so we can like live tweet.
We
can, and, like,
live
we can
tweet
get questions.
Dipper deck scabber.
What?
Rapper dick scabber.
So live tweeting is literally just tweeting while you're doing something.
Yeah.
That makes
yes.
me sound
really it's
or like when
it's
like when actors are like getting a TV show to air, so like tweet about it saying like, oh, stay tuned, y'all. I listen
okay.
to a lot
soap
of
operas. I'm about am I gonna get killed off in this next scene? We'll
I'm
find
gonna be
out.
Dude, you'll
see. You'll yeah. find out next week.
But yeah.
Take one scene, extend it over a 3-day period.
Mood.
For real. Honestly, if you condense the timeline or like the amount of time they waste with fillers, I feel like a good soap opera could be, like, reduced to a limited series.
That's true.
For sure.
For real. One of my most favorite, like, favorite soap operas, like, literally, you would watch it, and something would happen. A scene would come on, and it would be the same scene over, like, a 3-day span.
That's
they'd
how
do
it
a
works.
Little chip, they do a little,
you
like,
know what gets me? American Horror Story did this. They had a whole season over the span of, like, 2 days. Because like they went back
which
in time for a good amount of episodes.
Season was that?
It was what is it? The not most recent one, but the one before. Apocalypse.
I don't want to.
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
Oh, so good.
I don't understand your logic. Yeah.
But what would like to get started?
I don't understand your accent.
Are we ready, gang?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm James.
I'm Matt.
And welcome to It's Hard. We are on our fourth episode, and it's called Self-Care. It's hard. Guest star again today. I'm so sorry, Matt. I'm just in the talking mood. But we have a guest star. She's familiar to the show from episode 2. It's Miss Elizabeth Loftus.
Hello.
Thanks for coming and joining us again today, Elizabeth. We know you could have had your choice of podcast, but we're so happy you chose ours.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me.
She gets so many offers a week.
I know. Oh, it's so hard to choose. But this is by far my favorite.
Oh, a coveted spot, truly.
Yes.
Yeah, so today, like James said, yeah, we're going to talk about self-love because it's hard. And we're going to start today why each one of us is going to describe our own version of self-love. So we'll start with Chatterbox, James.
Okay, first of all, you're the one that usually talks the most, so let me have, pass me the ox.
Go off, sis.
But anyway, self-care to me, I mean, I'm pretty good at self-love because I freaking love myself. Like, I tweeted last night, I was like, don't y'all forget that I am stunning. So I'm very good at self-love. But to that, to me, it's just like making sure you care for yourself. You don't bring yourself down over, like, issues you may have with yourself. You recognize that everyone has flaws and mistakes.
Wait,
and
hold on. Wasn't that tweet because you saw a different tweet that was trying to bring you down?
Yes, I had saw a tweet, and someone was saying it was my ex, and he was like, at least I was the cute one in a relationship. I was like, the hell you were.
I saw your ex on Tinder today.
Which one?
Braxton with an
ex. Oh, yikes. I'm so sorry. Did you swipe right?
No, I swiped left.
Catfish. But
probably shouldn't have name dropped on that. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Oh, well.
I'm here for
the name drop.
Yeah, it's fine. I just won't be no name dropping.
That's fine.
But anyway, it's just, you know, loving yourself, making sure you care for yourself, because self-love goes a lot with self-care and how you have to make sure your mental, physical, emotional health is all up to par. Because if one of those go down, it's like a domino effect. They're all going down and you're going to end up somewhere not nice.
Well said.
Thank you.
Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Yeah. So my description or version of self-love, I think, would be not only like doing things like making sure that you get enough sleep and try to eat decent and exercise and drink water and all that, because I don't always do that, but I feel like just like not being so hard on yourself, and definitely giving yourself more credit, because I know I've learned how to do that over the years and everything. So just like basically to sum it up, yeah, just giving yourself enough credit for the things that you do and not being so down on yourself for the
things
that you do.
That's kind of funny you mentioned like drinking water, because I was telling someone yesterday, I was like, water is nasty.
I like water for the most
part.
Unless
it's like crisp and cold, I don't want it.
As crisp as the McDonald's Sprite.
Yes, that's acidic right there.
That McDonald's Sprite
is considered
self-love.
When I think of crisp water, I think of like the carbonated water, and that is probably the most disgusting substance
like soda
I've ever put into my body. Like,
my grandma drinks that Perrier water.
Club water, is that what it's called? Club water. Club soda,
yeah,
club soda.
How do you say it?
Perrier.
Is that Perrier? I've never known how to spell it.
What is that other one? La Croissant? La Croix.
La Croissant. I don't like LaCroix.
See, like, I think of that one, I think Pierre. La Pierre water.
Oh, the Perrier
French
water.
I'm not bougie to drink sparkling water.
My grandma drinks that. No, like, I think they have, like, a lemon flavor. It comes in, like, a cute bottle, but she'll just drink that.
I don't drink
that. Sometimes she'll
put
scotch in it, though, but.
I support her. Grandma Loftus getting it.
Grandma, yeah.
Okay. Well, no. My version of self-love, really, I mean, like, I don't know. It's trying to remind myself that the way I see myself may not be how other people see me, which is kind of a two-way street. It can go a negative route, too. But I think putting my perception in the hands of others, I think, is probably, to me, a big thing in self-love, just because you have to be able to, you know, come up with your own view of yourself. You have to come up with your own identity of yourself, or your own way of thinking about yourself. Because I know for me, I don't know, I think just self-love is finding a way to make me not feel like a bag of garbage every single day. Like, literally, like, feeling like hot trash, and I just, I don't know, it's something I will say I have struggled with over the years, is finding a system that works for me in terms of really loving myself the way I tend to love others. So for me,
that's
just
true.
Finding a system to where I can acknowledge my, you know, pluses and be able to not focus so much on my minuses.
That's true. What does RuPaul say? He says, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else?
And honestly, though, that might be why the hell I'm single. Who knows?
You got to
love
yourself
first.
Mama
Ru, please help me.
Listen, not just her, a lot of singers. What did Selena just came up with that Lose You to Love Me?
That was a very toxic relationship, though.
That is fair, but I think we've all had maybe a toxic relationship.
That's fair. This is not a relationship, though. This is about us.
Okay,
about us,
yeah,
God,
yeah,
damn it.
Yes. Okay, back to me.
Yes. What are some ups and downs that you've experienced in self-love, James?
Ups, I mean, sometimes I may get a little too egotastic, and, like, people are like, you little narcissistic bitch. But, but like, I'm just like, yeah, what
I
about
just love
it?
Me in the background. You bitch!
It's just bitch. Like confidence. Confidence is real sexy, y'all. But I don't know. Some downs. There have been times where I've hit rock bottom and like that affects me. But like at the end of the day, I have to be like, James, you are better than this. You have to pick yourself back up together. And like we're just rebuilding ourselves. Like this entire summer, I was down.
Yeah.
But like we are picking up the pieces. We're getting better. We're thriving now.
What's the biggest What's the biggest obstacle you think you face in terms of self-love?
It came down to when I was cheated on and then broken up with in like all a month or two span. I was like, damn, I must be ugly or just a horrible person. So that really got me. It's a lot of insecurity in like relationships, and that like factors in with trust and everything. But now like people are finding interest in me again. I'm finding interest in myself again. And I'm just like, wow, I am truly 100% that bitch.
Wearing that maroon ass, you know, turtleneck today.
Yeah, I'm rocking the turtleneck with my long ass neck.
Okay, Elizabeth.
So as far as obstacles go to self-love, for me, it always stemmed from when I was younger. My mom is a wonderful woman, but she would always say things like my sister and I, like about our weight and like how we looked and everything. And that would always like,
what's your mom's name?
Rochelle.
Oh yeah, I remember
Rochelle, you bitch. Bitch.
She would always say things to my sister and I that would just kind of like make me look at myself as like not good enough.
Yeah,
even,
I get that too. My parents used to do that too, but I was like, you know what? I'm stunning.
Yeah. Even in like my most fit days where I would literally jog every day with my dog and like eat right and like just exercise all the time, even then it was like always felt like it was never good enough. And the biggest obstacle I think was as I got older, as I, you know, moved more away and on my own, like even being able to look at myself and thinking, you know, it doesn't matter how I look. It just matters, like, you know, about who I am as a person and things like that.
It matters how you feel, so, yeah, too. You know, you can be not that perfect ideal, like, vision of fit or, you know, you really, like, and I think people don't really take into consideration, like, it's really more about how you feel. Like, do you feel good? Like, do you feel you are able to do everything that you want or need to do without some limitation? I don't know. For me, also, it kind of stemmed from body issues. You know, when I was growing up, I really, like, flip-flopped. I really, like, transitioned as far as weight. Like, I was super, super tiny, skinny when I was younger. And then when I got to, like, the age of puberty, like, I blew up like a balloon. And, you know, you guys have seen that photo of me.
My favorite photo.
With the eyebrows.
Without the eyebrows.
With no eyebrows.
With no eyebrows.
Lack
yes.
of eyebrows.
My lack of eyebrows. It took me 14 years to grow those eyebrows. Okay? So I'm V proud. I might be of age, but these eyebrows
VP
ain't.
Proud.
But no, it you know, like I literally went through like an ugly duckling phase. Like I looked like a thumb. I didn't have hair because my parents made me shave it off.
Oh no.
So not only was I chubby, I had like a near bald head and my hair did not grow out right, and they just let it grow out all at once, and you can't do that because my hair doesn't grow that way. So I had these horrific bangs that were thin and nasty, and I had these ugly wired frame glasses that were always bent out of shape. No matter what I did or however many times I had them fixed, they always bent out of shape, and my mom never got them fixed. So I was walking around with,
I think your parents wanted you to stay ugly, Matt.
I mean, Go off, sis. They probably did.
They said if he's ugly, he'll never leave.
I mean, you guys know I do not have the best relationship with my family. So, I mean,
what?
But yeah, like it
I didn't
was.
Know that.
It, shut up, James. No, it just stemmed from a lot of, you know, them putting me down. So it really was hard for me to find value in myself because what I was growing up with was, it was not in a setting where, you know, how we looked was appreciated no matter what we looked like. It was very much of, you know, they judged me, they judged my friends, and they would just say it to
not
my face.
The friend.
They would say it about my friends.
Don't have any like obligation to the parents. I would have clocked the bitch.
Well, they didn't say it to their face. My parents are not like that. Like, they're very much like, they'll wait until you leave and they'll either like come up with a rude nickname or all my friends have nicknames.
That's what my family used to be like. Oh, they used to, this one when I was straight back in the day, I had this girlfriend, her name was Tequasia. And my dad and sisters used to call her Nasty Taco.
Oh my God.
It was like, yeah, that just sounds like a venereal disease or something.
It's okay. Back when I was also straight in middle school, I had a girlfriend they called Pond Scum.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It was awful. Like, it was a very toxic environment. So, like, you know, they don't believe they're the kind of people that really understand self-love anyway, so I really don't think it was something that was going to get passed on or taught to me.
I feel like parents have to find it myself. Practice self-love before they bring a whole another life into the world, because if you can't love yourself, you can't really love anybody else, and that hate gets projected onto those kids, and that's why they grow up maybe depressed with anxiety, just mental problems. It's just bad for them.
Well, and I think that's why when you are at your best, I feel like the first time that I was truly at my best with self-love, it was like the best thing ever. And you know, self-love, I feel like, doesn't have to be every single day. Like, you don't wake up every single day and like, I love myself. Like, there are days where you're like,
I just want to die.
You look in the mirror. Yeah, you look in the mirror and you're like, I do not like you.
Go to bed.
Oscar the Grouch looking ass. Yeah.
Honestly, me though.
But when I feel like the older I get, the more I can like definitely relate to loving myself, and it feels like amazing. I don't know if anyone else can.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's love. Back to like that toxic relationship, because now that just got me on like a tangent. God. It's like, I don't know, when parents see their children who aren't happy with themselves, like when their children are like at an all-time high living their best, I feel like they try to bring them down because they're not satisfied with themselves, and that's detrimental to those children. Like, I had no moments when I was probably at my high living my life, and like they would say one comment that maybe they didn't mean to say, like, in a hurtful way, but, like, of course it was hurtful, and, like, it just gets really detrimental, and, like, parents, stop doing that to your children.
For real. Oh, honestly, my parents did not. Like, that's the one thing I will say I was never taught growing up. I was never taught what a positive, healthy, loving relationship looked like.
Yeah.
Granted, my parents are still married. They're still living their lives. And to be honest, like, it is truthfully, like, it could be tested scientifically. If you look at my sisters and me, you know, none of the three of us have really had, aside from my one lady ex, you know, Katie, I love you. Aside from my lady ex, we've never, you know, and my oldest sister is almost 30. None of us have had a stable, long-lasting, healthy relationship.
Because they think it's just shits and giggles in, like, the short term, but in the long run, that's really detrimental to
us. And it's funny is that they'll make fun of us for, like, you know, being single or for, like, you know, sleeping around or, you know, she'll call my sisters, like, floozies, like, you know, and it's like, but
your mom?
What are you teaching them?
Yeah,
you know,
nothing.
What,
they're just
showing
that
them?
Hate is deeply rooted in like family, that's why people grow off on a tangent from there. Like, they form their own families in college. Like, I feel like everyone here, like, I have my own family that like supports me more sometimes. But I don't know, it's just very toxic, and it's just, it really is a detriment to self-love when you can't have the love from your family who is supposed to give you love.
Well, we can talk about that in the family episode, though. I got a lot of baggage on my family.
Have we not done the family episode yet?
Hell no. I got a lot of tea on that, sis. no, honestly, I think it's hard for me to describe my best because I don't know if I've really reached it yet. I think my version of self-love has kind of declined. Going through college, I started out at a very freeing high. But as I've gotten, I think one of my bests was last March. I was, you know, eating right. I was exercising daily. You know, I was being more active. I want to say, like, physically, I felt at my best. Emotionally, I was not at my best. I don't know if there's really ever been a time for me that my like mental and physical.
Yeah. But are you truly at your whole best if only one of the factors are well? You have to have that triple threat physically, and I don't mentally, and emotionally.
Right, and I don't think I've reached that point yet. Yeah. I don't think I've reached that high. But you know what? I may get there one day, and I will let you guys know when I do.
That's good. I think for my best, I think not to like be like that, but I think right now I'm probably at my best because my health is really well. I'm like. I'm gaining weight, like, as I'm supposed to. Like, my mental health is pretty up to par. And, like, emotionally, I'm like, if you're the haters are going to hate,
you are one persistent bitch. You a tough bitch.
Oh, yeah, I just, no matter what life throws at me, I'll hit it back, maybe harder. So you better watch out.
James be swinging constantly.
That. Yeah.
Oof. That's good, though. I mean, it's good to have that. Because, you know, you have to be able to take care of yourself. You have to be able to, you have to provide.
You have to put all the hate and negativity to the side. And you have to be like, you are one badass mofucker, so.
I used to write little sticky notes on my mirrors. It would say things like that.
Yeah.
See, and I love, and this is, and I will say this will be, if I ever get a tattoo, I have no tattoos. But if I were ever to get one.
Oh, you heard it here first. James is a tattoo artist.
I felt James is coming for me. And I'm just kind of, no, I will say, my best friend used to, when we worked together, she would put sticky notes on my desk every single day. Just little positive messages. I know. And that's why I love her. Michelle, I love you too. She would put little sticky notes on my desk every single day. And one of them, which I still have, it's my favorite quote. And it's probably from fucking Pinterest. Like, it's probably from nowhere special, but it really resonated. Mm-hmm. And it said, loving yourself isn't vanity, it's sanity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that on, like, bumper stickers, t-shirts, yeah.
And I
when
I
you go to that. Florida, it'd be like, boop.
See, yeah. And if I were ever to get a tattoo, that's probably the first thing I would get.
When you get that tattoo, I'll get another tattoo.
It hit hard. Like, it hit different.
We can get tattoos on spring break.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes. More things that my mom would disown me for. Listen. Living for it.
If she just owns you, that just means the love wasn't fully there.
I mean, some days I question
it. But one thing I want to say about my family, my mom, I had hosted Thanksgiving this past week at my apartment. It was really well. Like, my mom, it's really different to see her in a light where, like, I'm an adult now, so she got to be, like, 100% honest. And she was like, I understand you have, like, a secret life, and, like, I guess it's secret because I don't tell her about it, but, like, to everyone else, it's not that much of a secret.
Right.
And she was like, and she was just like, I support you just as long as it makes you happy. And that, like, really stuck with me. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've gotten, like, bashed maybe, like, at some points for being gay and all that. And, like, just hearing that from her mom saying, like, just as long as you're happy, be happy, sleep with whoever you want. I was like, wow, like, full circle. And, like, that really touched my heart.
Damn, I'm still waiting on that shit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to come, but that's fine. It's fine. I don't need my parents' love to love myself.
You have our love.
I have Father James's love.
My love Father is stronger James. Than any love.
Well, I'm not calling James daddy, so.
Papa James.
Papa James, like Papa John's.
That's fair. Well, I mean, yeah, but what do you, Elizabeth, what do you do for self-care? What does self-care look like to you?
Ooh, it can be a bunch of different things. And I have, like, done, like, I don't want to say research, but I follow a lot of, like, you know, Instagram pages and Facebook pages and all that say, like, and like I said before, like, a lot of my biggest, like, insecurities and, like, obstacles was, like, my body image. And so a lot of things that I've seen is self-care isn't, like, self-care is sometimes eating, like, what you want, just because you want it, and not restricting yourself and all of that. And I know a lot of people can probably relate to that. But also, just even things like taking a bath sometimes.
Oh, yeah, a bubble bath with the candles lit. Yes. I do that about once or twice a month.
Those Lush bath bombs, those are my favorite.
I went to Lush this past weekend. I exercise self-control by not harming my bank account, and I didn't buy anything because I went to the Galleria.
Wow.
I bought nothing for the first time ever going to the mall. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's rough.
That's progress.
Yeah.
That's something.
Because I'm a shopaholic. Like, I will drop $300 easily at the mall.
Sometimes self-love is
restricting
shopping,
yourself, yeah.
But sometimes it is restricting yourself.
Yeah. That's why I think I'm just at my best, because, like, if I was in a bad state, I'd be like, fuck it, I'll, like, do it later, and I'll just go buy and deal with the consequences later. But, like, I'm trying to think more rationally, be more responsible in my life.
I don't know. My, like, I will say for me, like, my version of self-love is I so deeply value my alone time.
Yeah,
oh my goodness,
I do, like,
yes.
I think, honestly, it might have gotten to a point where it's maybe a little unhealthy, but, like, there
are
times.
Yeah, you can't seclude yourself.
Well, that's the thing, is, like,
I love doing that.
Get to a point, though, that I truly can't handle being around other people. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I can't bring myself to do it. I can't bring myself to want to be around. Even, like, close friends, like, I'll get to a point where I'm just like, I really don't want to spend time
I'm
with you.
So yeah, but I remember when... I'm not the only one that feels
God,
that way.
No, I do that sometimes, but I'm more of a social butterfly. I like to make sure all my friends are happy. I like being around them. But, like, when I want my alone time, I get my alone
time. I like to think
of
myself as being a social butterfly, and I'm very open and
friendly with people. I feel like you would think that just when you're here, but I don't think you're that type of... friend. You're more of like the I'm there if you absolutely need me type of friend.
Oh God, no, I'm there at the drop of the damn dime. I'm that friend.
Okay, well, maybe not absolutely need, but I'm there if you need me, but you're not gonna like actively like throw yourself because you value your alone time.
That's true. I think like honestly, I think it stemmed a lot more from the fact of like as I've gotten older, I've gotten busier and I've gotten involved and invested in so many things that concept of me time, like a good example is last summer when I was, and honestly the last two summers, when I was working, like I would work literally 7 days a week.
Oh my goodness.
Probably sometimes probably
that's
60.
How I was at Smoothie King though, because I liked money and I had nothing better to do. I'd rather, if I'm doing something, I want
to
be making money.
And that's the thing, money. Is like I got to a point where like I was so overbooked that I couldn't think of anything outside of work. Like, I would work, honestly, probably 60 plus hours.
And that happens a lot during, like, breaks when, like, most friends are probably back home and you're like, well, let me occupy time by making money, getting yourself prepared for, like, the next year. And I get that.
Yeah, and that's how, that was how it is this year, is that, you know, all of my closest friends, you know, the people that I left high school with, you know, they were all back in town. So I got to see every single one of them. That doesn't normally happen. We even went out to a bar all together, which was an experience, to say the least. Because
is that the night you called me?
It might have been. I don't remember. I was drunk. No, I will say, like, we went to a bar in our hometown. So everyone we knew from high school.
Was it like, what was it? What did they call it? Thirsty Wednesday? What is it called?
Blackout Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday.
Thirsty Wednesday. Blackout Wednesday.
I'm not hip with the alcoholism.
You know what? I'm hip. I can hang. We literally went out, and I just saw so many people. And I honestly, like, I think that's another thing, though, is, like, in terms of self-care, it kind of hit me a little bit because those same people were not that, and it could be because of the alcohol that was involved with it.
And
but
also
they
probably matured.
That's true. But a lot of them, like, were not friendly to me specifically. You know, there were some people that I had falling outs with. There were some people that I just knew judged me for God, whatever reason. And, you know, they see me and they're like, you know, oh, you look so happy. You look so,
aww,
you look great.
That's awesome.
Well, and that's good. I like it when people, like, don't necessarily compliment, like, your physical appearance, but, like, you just seem so much better. You seem happy. Like, that. Those are always the compliments that hit, like, me the hardest.
And,
like,
and it's true, though. Like, it's been a 360, you know. I'm living a completely different life than I did then. I look 110% different. I have actual hair.
The eyebrows grew in.
Some of them knew me with eyebrows. But, like, I look 100%. Nothing like I did whenever
you
they
don't. Every time I see
and
that
I'm
photo, I'm like, who is that?
Right. Like, yeah, that who's that eyebrowless thumb? who's Mr. Clean's offspring looking
inbred?
Mr. Clean, dun, dun, dun.
But it's really interesting to have that experience of, you know, people seeing you in a different phase in your life and being reminded of the times that you, you know, maybe didn't love yourself that much. And that's how it was for me. And it's nice to go through it with people I know because, you know, we can bond over that and just kind of talk it out now. And, you know, it's interesting, but it was an experience. I will say it was an experience.
Yeah.
But we do, awesome. Yeah, but luckily we do have more questions that James got from the Huffington Post. And it's get serious about your self-care. 8 questions that you must ask yourself. James, would you like to start us off with your question list?
Just say, sorry, I got a very important email, my appeal process, but we'll discuss that later.
Fair enough.
It's fine. It's nothing I didn't know.
Oh.
So anyway, this came from the Huffington Post. I know it's not that most credible source, but it was get serious about self-care. 8 questions you must ask yourself. So like, if you
read that,
huh?
I already read that.
Oh, sorry. I was. Oh,
he was deep into.
I was
email.
Deep into that email.
Knee deep in Microsoft Office.
It was like you've got an official correspondence letter. I was like, oh Lord.
Oh,
those
no.
Those always give me a little
here
bit of a heart
again.
Stop. Yeah. This process has been going on for who knows how long.
Too
now.
Too long.
But it says, if you struggle with taking the time, spending money, or finding energy to put yourself first, you have to first ask yourself the first question, what negative thoughts about who I am I holding on to? When have I felt weak? And that's an important question, I believe, because it says, like, why do I feel guilty about splurging on myself? Or, like, what memories make me feel small? Because that can come from trauma or PTSD, and, like, that can prevent you from having self-care. Like, I know a friend who has to watch everything they eat, and, like, they just don't love themselves, and it could come from trauma or something. Like, you just have to put yourself first so you can enjoy what you do. You shouldn't have to always monitor, like, how much you weigh or how much you're eating. If you want to do that, and if it makes you happy and healthy, you have to do that.
Yeah, and it's hard to ask yourself these questions when you're not in a healthy state to begin with. Like, you really
But that's
have
what
to
it's
do.
Saying. This is saying you're not in a healthy state, so you have to ask yourself these questions.
And the thing is a lot of people, especially when they're in, like, the thick of it, they don't want to ask themselves these kind of questions. Like, they don't want to try and, like, you know, go down a hill that's going to take them down even lower than they're already feeling. But yeah, it's important. I mean, and like I just said, what memories make me feel small? Some of my high school experiences make me feel incredibly small.
Being like an inch tall, yeah.
Being that thumb was not a good time in my life. I think I'm more so angry that no one ever, like, suggested I dress up as Mr. Clean for Halloween. And that
was Mr. Clean that prominent back then?
Oh, he totally was. He's been around forever.
He has.
I look just like him.
The
blonde,
new one looks
no
a little
eyebrows,
creepy, though.
Like, come on. Like,
you need to get the little earring he's got. Yep. Doesn't he have a little earring?
Yeah.
It was a perfect Halloween costume waiting. And it didn't happen.
But yeah, those prominent memories of me being younger and, like, my mom or just, like, my family in general saying things or even just any comments about, like, my weight always kind of made me feel small.
Yeah.
Just all of that.
And if you're also trying to, like, hold yourself back, you have to also ask, like, what thoughts of scarcity do I believe in my core saying, like, why don't I believe I can access wealth or, like, money or happiness? And, like, why do I feel like I'm running out of time? And, like, do I see my energy as a resource worth replenishing? So, like, a lot of people are worried about just living, saying, like, I'm running out of time to live my life. And, like, I live basically every day like it's my last, sort of. I mean, I just wake up and I'm like, let's do it. Whatever happens, happens. And a lot that usually pisses off a lot of people because, like, how are you so nonchalant? Like, I had dislocated a rib last week. I was like, oh, I'll be okay. Like, I didn't really care much.
Did
so,
you
like,
really?
I did.
I did not know about this.
How did you dislocate a rib?
You were there. Remember, I dislocated it.
Oh, my God. That was what that was?
Yeah. I dislocated my rib. Yeah. And, like, I was just like, yeah, I'm
did
fine.
Did you get that checked out?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm fine. Literally.
You didn't tell me you
I thought I did.
It's relocated now?
No, it heals itself. So it still hurts like a mofo, but, I mean, it's not going to stop me from doing what I want to do. But, like, every time something happens, they're like, I was hanging out with a friend this past weekend, and he almost crashed a car. And he was like, why didn't you warn me? I was like, well, who am I to interfere with God's plan? Because I definitely saw it. I was just like, whatever happens, happens.
James!
Yeah, he was like, oh, my gosh, I could have wrecked my car. I was like, well. Like, I'm just very nonchalant.
Can't take
like
a car to heaven or hell.
Yeah, like, I got let go from one of my jobs due to, like, drama reasons. I was like, okay, he, like, gave me the phone call. I was like, I'm so sad about this. Like, listen, whatever happens, happens. Everything happens for a reason. That just means better opportunities are out there. And, in fact, there were. Like, I'm offered internships now. So, like, you just have to be very nonchalant. If, like, something throws at you, you can't be like, oh, dwell in it. You just have to move on.
So what you're telling me is I need to just throw on a blindfold and just let whatever's going to guide me guide me.
Yeah, when you live life that way, you just seem, like, much more happier. You're more, like, loose. You don't have, like, a stick up your ass or something like that.
I just procrastinate a lot.
I like my stick.
Well, remove the damn stick.
You know,
but
it'd
be
like that sometimes.
Yeah, and then furthermore, you have to be like, who taught me that my needs weren't important? And that is like when you get to why do I feel abandoned, ignored, and unheard? And that can go back deeply rooted back into like your family, what we were talking to. Because like a lot of families will bring you down
my mother.
When you're at your highest. And that's the source. And you have to like take that negativity and like remove it from your life. You can't like, you know, like in movies when like a negative thing happens and like they're standing there and like it's all the voices circling around them. You have to like spray some Lysol, disinfect those negative thoughts or something because like
spray some Lysol.
Yeah, you just have to keep moving on. Stay positive, my dudes.
I think honestly, and the one after that is, you know, what am I so afraid of? I think that really ties into like, you know, if people make you feel like family that make you feel like you don't have a solid foundation or that you can't succeed, like it does weigh on you.
Yeah.
It does. Like, it's very detrimental, like, just to say, like, what am I afraid of? If you live life always scared about something, worried, because I must admit, after, like, the incident with my ex, when, like, it was a lot of legal problems, sometimes I was just afraid to, like, go outside this summer. Like, I just would not
horrible.
I was, like, developing agoraphobia. Is that the one where you're, like, fearing going outside?
No.
I think.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head is triskaidekaphobia.
The heck is that?
The fear of the number 13.
Yeah. So, like, I had to get out myself. I was like, there's nothing worse that can happen than what has already happened. And, like, once I hit that low, you can only go up. So I feel like once you hit that rock bottom, you just keep soaring from there.
Love that.
So I thank them for, you know, helping me hit that rock bottom, because now it seems like they're all going down and I'm living my best life.
You're just thriving.
Yeah,
karma.
Yeah,
karma comes around.
Big bitch to them now.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Agoraphobia. It's the fear of places and situations that might cause panic, helplessness, or embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
look at me. Vocabulary.
Sounds about right.
An icon. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Because, like, a lot of my insecurities in life have come from my parents. Yeah.
They usually come from. That and, like, bullies, childhood bullies.
My mom.
Besides family, non-family
swinging
bullies.
Swinging it back around to the mom.
Yeah.
What's your mom's name?
Lisa.
Lisa.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa.
You know,
Lisa,
it'll be an interesting day and time if my mother ever actually listens to this podcast.
She'll be like, so.
Hopefully, it'll be long gone
it'll
and
be
out
talking
the house.
Shit.
It'll be 10 fucking years down the line, and she's going to pull up this shit. So you said this, and this 10 years ago.
I'm like, new phone, who dis?
Pretty much. But no, like, I mean, it's the truth. Like, it is the truth. It's stemmed from my family, and I wish things were different than how they were, and I wish they would be more receptive to hearing that. But
when you ask that, you have to also be like, why do I think I'll fall apart? Because a lot of people prevent themselves from doing something because, like, they'll fall apart. Back to that friend I mentioned earlier, like, they feel like if they were to eat what they would like, their entire weight, life, mental health would just fall apart. And sometimes you just have to let go and just live your best life, because, like, I was in therapy, and one of the things we were talking about, things we cannot control, things that are outside of our control, and your body is one of them. You can't control your body. It's going to do whatever it wants to do, whether it's health issues. Yeah, so.
And the more you try, honestly, the more time and effort you put into trying to control
the more harmful it gets,
the look of your body. Honestly, that's a reality, is that people will put up this facade of, like, you have to look a certain way and it's the best way for your body to be, when in reality that's really not that true.
And it's harming your body even more.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it can't be good for your body for an amount of time.
Yeah,
the thing
but
is, it's not sustainable.
But it's also, they're not doing it the healthy way.
That's
yes.
fair. Oh,
you
yeah,
have
no,
to do
it's,
it
it's fair.
Healthy.
People do try and take the shortcut routes to
looking
the way they
good.
Want to look.
If you
want to,
like, lose weight, exercise, diet properly, not, like, the non-traditional ethical ways.
Roids.
Yeah.
Roids.
But and answering those questions, like, you really do have to dig deep for those answers. Like, you have to fight that tendency to believe old stories and search for the truth that, you know, is inside of you. You
that
have
was
to be
deep.
Able to.
Yeah,
I know you read it from the paper, but that was deep.
Thank you. People to hire me for, you know, ads and stuff. No, like, and then you start to challenge your beliefs and ask yourself, like, real questions. You know, you have to be able to ask, you know, what positive thoughts about me can I focus on?
And it starts with that self-love again, because let me tell you, like, when I was down and I got up, it was just something that clicked me. I looked at myself in the mirror one day and I was like, you are one badass bitch. Like, you survived all this. You can survive the damn world if you really want to. And, like, ever since I hit that rock
That's
bottom,
true.
I've just been going up, like, you just have to realize you can't get worse from here. So I just walk around campus. I see the people who are trying to harm my life, and I'll wink at them. I'll wave at them. I'll smile at them. I
don't
really don't care
flirting
anymore.
Flirting with danger.
There is no holding back now. I got my official correspondence letter. Oh, James is back in action now, baby.
Well, and the positive thoughts, I think, like, on days where maybe you don't feel like you don't love yourself so much, focus on, you know, it's good to focus on other things, like, maybe you're not happy with how you look physically. You could focus on, you know, maybe you have a good work ethic, or maybe you have, maybe you're a really honest person, or you're a loyal friend, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I think that's
focus on the good qualities.
Yeah,
everyone has good qualities. Like, even bad people, like, unfortunately, like, there's something about their personality that is a good thing.
Right.
Granted, the things you might see are the horrible parts.
What they
parts.
Do with their personality and their strengths.
Yeah. And you have to know your value, your self-worth, too. So you have to be like, do I have value in this world? Like, what am I contributing? Because a lot of times when people get depressed, they're like, I feel worthless. Like, I'm, like, absolutely nothing. Like, I'm not contributing to any friendships, relationships. And you have to, like, set those negative thoughts aside and be like, no, I, like, my friends love me, my family adores me. Like, you have to think about the people you would hurt by hurting yourself. So, like, it's a real big web of problems that you have to address.
I will say today I met with a professor to get a letter of recommendation for grad school. And
ooh, fancy.
I know. real life stuff.
We're getting shit done this Monday.
No, she literally, like, when we were done talking, she's like, you've done a lot. And I was like, God damn it, you're right.
I mean, I feel like you should not realize. I could have told you you've done a lot. So if that was a problem, if you think you haven't done a lot.
No, whenever I feel like I haven't done a lot, I just look at my resume. Yikes.
I feel like you should know without looking. You shouldn't need assurance. That's another thing of people. Like, that self-love is, like, not always needing that unless that's, like, your love language, like, words of affirmation, then I get that.
But sometimes I do need that. Well, the thing is, it's also, like, people don't realize my memory is terrible. Like, bad.
That
so most
fair.
Of the time, it's not that I don't take credit for it. I just honestly forget.
That's fair. Like, I try to remember my accomplishments.
And time for me has been so, like so much has occurred in 4 years of my life that it's kind of hard to wrap my head around it some days.
Mm-hmm.
And some things don't fit when I'm thinking about it.
Scares me a lot. I'm like, how does this all go by so fast?
Yeah, time. Like, this semester is over in 2 weeks. I'm like, wow.
I graduate in May.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't leave.
Crunch time now.
I'm ready to go. But yeah, and it's, you know, what thoughts of abundance can I adopt? So, like, what thoughts as far... I'm reading off of the sheet. What do you want from me?
No,
it's like telling yourself, like, what is...
It's like saying, like, can I believe I am worthy of my money if it's my last dime? If it's your money and it's your last dime and you need to treat yourself to, like, benefit yourself...
Do it.
Yeah, do it. Because, I mean, in the end,
I'm good at that.
It's all going to work out in the end. I promise you that. It may not seem like that, but at the end of the day, it's going to work out.
That's what I tell myself. I say, I always end up figuring out. I always end up pulling through.
Yep, like, I had a credit card with my old dog because it was, like, just a pet credit card for, like, his bills and all that. And I had that with my ex, but I had it under my Social Security. And granted, I see he hasn't been paying the bills, so it went to collection during the break. And I was like, you know what? It's all in God's plan. I'll be A-okay. So
you'll be okay.
Yeah, that's not the first thing that's gone to collection
to
from him, so I am fine.
You need to know that you're important, okay? And you also need to know that you're safe.
Yeah, what's that one video with the girl say, you is pretty, you is beautiful.
You is kind,
yeah.
You is smart,
no,
you is important.
No. Yep. That was from The Color Purple, The Help, yeah.
The Color Purple.
No, I'm talking about, it was this lady who was in a car.
Oh, she has her nails.
Yeah,
and she
goes, nails. Yeah.
It's sunny. It's a beautiful
day. Yeah, yeah. You need to get out of bed. That one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She's made multiple videos.
About. Yeah.
It's just a video of, like,
her in the car. I think she was doing it.
And it's just her nail, her hand and her, like, long nails. And I think in one of them, her, like, part of her head's in it.
Yeah.
But she's just like, you are beautiful.
Yep.
You are strong. You are, like, she says a lot of these nice affirmations.
That's what I just think.
Draw my mind to the most recent YouTube video that, like, I remember.
We'll watch it.
It's
later.
Real old.
Okay.
It's not.
The only thing
recent.
I'm thinking of that I've seen from YouTube is some old lady bitching about a McRib.
No.
Oh.
Endorse it.
Excuse me. I'm at the McDonald's on Dorset.
And you have to know, like, when have I felt helpful? When have I felt supported? And, like, when have I felt at peace? And you always have to be at peace with yourself, because if you're not at peace with yourself, it's going to be anarchy.
How the hell are you going to bring peace to someone else?
Yeah.
It works in so many ways. I think, like, to know that I'm important, I love to, like, be helpful. Like, I love being given a job. Like, hey, can you do this for me? And then I feel important. Like, I'll help you.
I love feeling, like, relied on. I love, I love feeling that, like, you know,
it's great to feel needed, but, you know, I don't want to be needy.
Right.
Yeah.
Need A.
Need A. Like, even things like, even today, like, today I leave one of my positions on campus, and, like, people are like, are you sad about it? And I'm like, no, I'm actually very excited to leave. I'll miss all of my loves. I know Elizabeth and Matt, they're on it with me. I'll still come visit them to act like I'm just about to disappear into the abyss. I ain't got nothing better to do. Matt's over here flicking me off as I'm speaking.
Flicking you off.
But, you know, we're okay. I'm just excited. New beginnings, new opportunities to
you
come
said
my
God
way.
God has that plan, right?
Yep. I was like, who am I to interfere with God's plan? That's my motto. If I was to get in that car wreck this weekend, who am I to interfere?
Well, on that note, I think it's about all the time that we have. You know what?
First of all, how do we know that we are safe? That's another thing. Safety is very important when it comes to self-love.
It is. It is really important. I mean, and you have to be able to put yourself in an environment that makes you feel safe.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I was not in a safe, healthy environment. And like, I didn't realize that at the time because I was like young and love and all that, when it was actually a toxic environment that was detrimental to like, my mental health.
I'm gonna love myself so hard when I live on my own.
Yeah, it's great living on my own.
Oh, I love living on my own. Yeah, it's nice. That's the definition of self-love.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. You just go home and decompress. Yes. Take your clothes off, get naked, watch some Disney Plus. I don't know.
I go home, I put my jeans pants on with the little polar bears.
Oh no! I walk in, I start stripping the moment I lock my door. I'm like,
God,
it's like a trailer clothes all the way to my bed.
The apartment that I want doesn't have a tub.
Ooh. No, I need my bath time in the night.
I can
night.
Put a little kiddie pool in there. You can just splash around.
Splish splash, got your floaties on.
Splish splash.
But yeah, I light my little tea light candles and I play some soothing tunes and I'm just meditating.
And then bubbles, just engulfed in bubbles. Buried.
And James is just levitating.
I'm getting my final form. My third eye is opening.
All of his chakras have been cleansed.
Honestly.
They're all aligned. Everything's aligned.
Love that.
Yeah, that's how I feel like. Honestly, I may take a bath tonight because I ain't got to open tomorrow, so I don't have to be up early. I do have to be in class tomorrow at 2 p.m. So
okay, 2 p.m. though.
You don't understand. I go to sleep sometimes at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, wow, 2 p.m. is mighty early. No, I have a wonky sleep schedule.
That's true. You do. I'm still trying to get back on the school schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't affect me over break. It was just because, like, I've been having wonky sleep schedules. Like, I'm just always on the move. I like feeling productive when I use all the time possible. So, like, even if that's just hanging out with my friends, going to eat, going shopping, like, I have to maximize my use of time. And that's when I feel most productive in my life. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm just laying, sometimes I need, like, a mental health day, which we didn't talk about, surprisingly, like, mental health days, mental health weeks. But, you have to take that time for yourself, you know, seclude yourself. Sometimes I'll cut off my phone so no one can, like, reach me. And I always, every time I talk about, like, cutting off my phone, I go back to when I came out. I put that post on Facebook, and I turned my phone off for the rest of the day.
Oh my
I didn't
goodness.
Turn it on till the next day. I was like, nope, not That's responding to nobody.
That's frightening.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that, though.
Because I was far away from most of them. I was, like, in Edwardsville, so most of them were, like, in Belleville or, like, you know, L.A., Texas. So I was
really far away, really
spread
out.
I went, like, Belleville and everywhere, so they couldn't reach me unless they called me. And I was like, well, you can't call me if my phone's off.
You know what? Hey, it's just a reminder that you have to learn how to love yourself even when it's hard.
Yeah, that's true. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Hey-o.
Other than that, I hope you tune in next week for whatever we decide to talk about.
But we'll for see. Now, thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of the day.
Bye.
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 To the fucking loo.
Did it?